Welcome to Agents of Smooch. I am Director of Smooch, Annette Weirstra. For day 8 of our 12 Days of Love Actually, I am joined by Agents Kirsten Gorick and Katie Burt. Hello, Agents.
Hi.
Hello.
Today's mission, we're talking about Colin and the American Girls, played by Chris Marshall, Ivana Milsevic, January Jones, Alicia Cuthbert, Shannon Elizabeth, and Denise Richard. And all I'm going to say is, oh, Colin.
This is a difficult mission.
Colin is our unlucky in love British man who decides to leave his life behind, pack up a backpack full of condoms, and go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because there his Britishness and his accent will make him a hot commodity, and it works.
I hate that he's rewarded for this.
I really wanted you to ask me if I accepted this mission, and I wanted to say no.
You don't accept it? Okay,
well. Don't accept it.
Kirsten's out, so she's gone.
Come back. Don't leave us.
I'm sorry. I'll stay. I'll stay because I know it's important to point out what such an asshole he is.
He's introduced, just from the very beginning, he's introduced being a creep at a workplace, as, you know, happens in this movie.
As we said in a previous episode, workplace harassment is a theme.
He just keeps, like, being the worst to women and then being like, I don't get it.
He's a terrible waiter.
He really is bad at his job.
And he says, my future wife, to Mia when he's dropping off a sandwich. And she just, like, ignores him because he's so gross.
Yeah.
By the way, Colin, you're just so slimy and gross. It's not the girls being stuck up. You are disgusting.
Right? Like, his friend points out that, like, no, you're just an asshole. And he is.
It's not the continent's fault.
Exactly. Stop blaming women for your inadequacies.
He's an incel, basically. Yeah. He's an incel.
Yeah.
I was watching it this time, I was like trying to imagine a more, because like this storyline is not complex. So I was trying to give him like a more complex context. And it was like, the only person he seems to have in his life is this friend Tony, who doesn't necessarily even seem to like him that much. So yeah, I mean, not that this is an excuse at all, but he doesn't seem like he has a lot going on.
He's got a British accent. I mean, to be fair, a British accent is an asset. Accents are cute, but you require more. I just like trying to think of any redeeming qualities of this storyline. Like, is there anything?
No.
I mean, all these women, there's some pretty cool women in this storyline that it does make me happy to know that several, or I don't know, someone like January Jones went on to do a lot of really cool stuff.
Yes. It is cool seeing her in the early years. I had a very similar tank top that she was wearing when I was in junior high, that baby blue. I think if the only slightly, and I say slightly like in quotation marks and with a lot of sarcasm, redeeming thing is that he does bring one of them back with him. He doesn't just leave them in Wisconsin.
Right.
And he brings a sister back for Tony because, you know, sisters are interchangeable and stuff, because that's how that works.
The funniest thing to me is the fact that we all say table the same.
That scene, I'm like, I do feel like this feels the closest to something that has happened.
Real life, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's upset. I'm like, I don't understand what they're trying to do with this storyline. Or, like, it does seem like this movie is interested in, like, walking that line between giving us kind of, like, fantasy, by some definition, like, representations of romance and or love. And then some more like maybe realistic and like, you know, we talked about this in the Sarah and Carl episode, like frustrating things that happen in real life. And I don't know where this just feels like absurd fantasy.
Male fantasy.
It's just so over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's one thing to like pick up a chick in a bar. That happens a lot. I would accept that. But the three of them and the one bed and we're too poor for pajamas, but we can order like 8 shots and 12 beers.
Mm-hmm.
I like the economic.
I wonder if we would accept it more if he just met up with one girl in the bar. Basically, he's going back for a whole orgy.
the way it plays is like, it's like there's some sort of like hot like con artist team and they're like luring him back. But that's not what's happening, you know?
If we didn't see him again at the end, we might have just thought he was murdered.
Exactly.
I would have been okay with that. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Colin. But
Colin was never heard from again.
Yeah. It just seems like the, of all of the stories, this one is, there's nothing redeeming about it, and that there's nothing, like, what is it actually saying? And it's just rewarding bad behavior, and I don't mm-hmm. get it.
Yeah, well, what it's saying just feels so flat, like, and superficial. Like, literally, that if you're a British man and you go to America, like, hot women will hook up
throw themselves at you in threes or more.
Yeah. It's produced and written by men, though, so, like, maybe this is just their, like, we're gonna go, this is their fantasy, we're gonna go to America and we're gonna be so hot there because we're British.
That is interesting, like, you pointing out that this is, like, maybe more of a male fantasy, and it, mm-hmm. it makes me wonder, like, are there other examples of that in the movie, or is this, I don't know. I mean, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, what does it say about American girls?
Mm.
You're our American girl, Katie.
We're all hot and easy.
And you all sleep in one bed.
Yes, and poor.
Naked in one bed.
It's really cold in the winter, okay? I just don't believe that logistically.
If it was really cold, we would be in 12 layers of pajamas. Come on.
So much flannel.
Yeah.
I do like that. I do feel like the look of the, like, Wisconsin bar and the house are pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is good.
You know, so there's points for authenticity there.
So the bar looks good. That's what we're going with.
There's their, like, gold star. That's the only one they get.
It does just, like, you know, like what I was saying before that, or I guess this wasn't another episode, that there was a storyline that was cut that centered, like, queer couple.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another story that was cut. So apparently there are four stories that were cut, but two of them were filmed.
Wait, before you go on, I just have to, like, they cut the queer storyline and kept this one.
I know! It's so frustrating.
Come on!
Like, one of my notes was literally, like, why did they not cut this?
Yeah.
Why did they write this in the first place is my question.
Maybe they thought, like, Elijah Cuthbert... was important that she was in the movie or something. I don't know. I'm like,
and
I like
she was
her.
Filming in Wisconsin, so they had to, like, work around her schedule.
But yeah, there were four extra storylines that were written for the film, and then two that were filmed and that were eventually cut.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was a queer storyline featuring a lesbian couple in London. And then the other one, I think, was an African story. And I don't know where in Africa, which was probably, like, maybe it was for the best that they cut that. Yeah, I don't, like, know what that would have looked like. But yeah, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how this one made the cut.
Well, and you said before they cut the queer story and one of them died, which would be like, you can't give the lesbians a happy ending. Like, come on.
I know. Never. Of course not. 2003.
So that could have been just as problematic. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's like writing, including representation when it's maybe problematic, mm-hmm. is this whole other discussion.
Yeah. Well, whatever. How about we just say we're cutting this episode right now?
So, children, if you believe in Father Christmas like your old Uncle Brian does, subscribe to Agents of Smooch.